Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk. I have a little bit of feedback going, so hopefully I'll be able to figure that out. So I talk a lot about methodology on the show. We talk about coaching methodologies and how coaching is so important in people's lives. And what we want to do is continue in that vein with talking about coaching methodologies and how it applies to, in certain situations. And we have a special guest with us today, Breanne Rice. And Breanne is going to share with our listeners some of her experiences with some of the challenges she's had in her life and what she's doing now in media and what she's doing now moving forward. Breanne was on the Dr. Phil show here recently, and they did a segment on her life and things that she's gone through. So I want to really hand off to Breanne and have her talk about her situation and some of the concepts and methodologies of how she's grown in her life and what's going on. So Breanne, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. So if you would kind of, you know, introduce yourself to our listeners and talk about your, you know, the situation that you've overcome with the autoimmune and everything else, and let's kind of get on it.
Yeah. So when I was younger, you know, around the ages of 17 to 19, I was pursuing a modeling career. And I started to develop a small white spot underneath my left eye. And I didn't think much of it at first. I just kind of overlooked it, thinking it would go away. And that spot actually began to spread. And I went to the dermatologist, and he diagnosed me with vitiligo. So vitiligo is an autoimmune disease where your body attacks its own skin cells and you begin to lose pigmentation. So it's essentially caused me to lose nearly half of the pigment on my face. And at this time in my life, I was finding my value based off of what I look like. You know, when I would look in the mirror, how good I looked, all of those things, that was my identity. And I was completely devastated when this began to happen to me. I thought, why is this happening to me? Couldn't this be on the bottom of my foot or something like that? Why is it only on my face? And so it just shattered my self-esteem, and I began to cover it up with makeup. I didn't let anybody know about the skin condition that I had. I wouldn't go outside without makeup on. I felt like it made me less of a woman, and I gave up on the dreams and the aspirations that I had because I felt like I was hiding the secret that nobody knew about, and I had to be perfectly made up all the time. My friends didn't know about it. Nobody. And I was always like, why can't I just be one of those girls that throws their hair up in a ponytail and goes outside with no makeup on, right? So I hid it from everyone. And recently, you know, I'm in my 30s now. I decided I didn't want to feel this way about myself anymore. I wanted to feel comfortable in my own skin, and I didn't want to hide anymore. I wanted to wake up in the morning to look in the mirror and be proud of who I was and love myself for the way that I'm uniquely and individually made. So I uploaded a photo online, and it went viral. You know, I wasn't expecting that, certainly, but you never know what an impact your words can have, and being vulnerable, it's so powerful because it really helps other people who may be struggling with similar issues.
Was it on Twitter, or where did you upload it at?
I uploaded it on my Instagram, actually.
Oh, okay.
And it went viral, and you know, I got all these emails from people all over the world. I got messages saying it ended up in, you know, India, in Israel, all over the world. This photo went viral. And actually, through posting that photo, you know, I ended up doing interviews with the Today Show, People Magazine, all of this media. And then I actually had a production company from the UK fly out here, and I filmed a documentary, which is airing on TLC UK right now, about my vitiligo. So I ended up actually filming a TV show from it too. But, you know, now I want to use my story and what I went through to help, you know, other people to learn to love themselves. And I think that we have this ideal standard of perfection in our mind that we measure ourselves to. And we think, once I've arrived at this, and once I, you know, once I lose this weight finally, or once I, you know, look this certain way, or whatever it may be, whatever that is for you individually, you think you'll finally be okay and you'll finally be happy. But really, it's just about loving yourself and accepting right. yourself exactly how you are.
What year did you upload that photo that kind of was the catalyst for all this? Was that 2015, 14? When did that happen?
That was this year.
It was this year. Wow.
Yeah, it was this year. And it's just been this amazing momentum since then.
Well, so it sounds like to me that you had arrived to a point psychologically or mentally before you sent that posting. I mean, what was the thinking? You just say, hey, you know what? I'm just going to take the gloves off. I'm just going to, you know, show this for what it is, and just kind of walk through some of your thought stream that led up to that posting.
You know, I'd battled in my mind with all of my mindsets for years and years. And in my 20s, I spent feeling insecure about the way that I looked. And finally, I had arrived at that where I'm like, you know what, this is me. And it was like, I'm taking off this mask that I've been wearing. And, mm-hmm. you know, I enjoy wearing makeup. I like doing different trends and things with it. But I used it at that time to cover the condition that I had and the insecurities right. that I had. So for me, it was, hey, you guys, I've been hiding the secret. This is who I was for 10 years. This is who I am. I've learned to love this person, but guess what? This is what I went through. And at that point, it was, I wanted to help inspire and encourage other people who may be going through similar things, because it was so hard for me. And now if my situation can help other people, or, you know, women or men who are dealing with that, you know, to me, that's very powerful. And I wanted to use that. And I really feel a call to, you know, help others in that direction and kind of break those stereotypes. So for me,
so,
it was like the mask came off.
The mask came off. So prior to that, you know, you and I had a pre-production meeting yesterday, and yeah. we had talked about some of the relationships that you alluded to that a lot about. Man, I was attracting the wrong kind of, if you will, people in your personal relationships. Talk a little bit about how does that interface with how you were feeling about yourself and.
Yeah, I think, I mean, thoughts are things, right? So mm-hmm. whatever we believe, I always say this, I don't know who quoted it or who said it, but I read something that said, we accept the love we think we're worthy of deserving. And I think that goes all the way around. It's the type of friendship. It's the type of relationships that you're in. All of those things. I didn't feel good enough. So I attracted the wrong types of people into my life. You know, my friends, the people that I was, you know, going on dates with, all those things, they, you know, it was because of those mindsets that I had about myself. I didn't feel good enough. I didn't feel pretty. You know, I put on all this makeup and had to be perfectly made up, but deep down, I didn't really love that person. And, you know, now part of that was that momentum was changing my mindset. And once I changed my mind and I learned who I was and I learned to love that person, I have the most amazing friends that I could ever ask for. I'm so incredibly blessed. And, you know, there's some good men out there that want to take me on some dates. So,
All right. So that's really good. So let's go back, if we could, a little bit. So kind of go back to the time where you're really kind of deep into that negativity. You know, you were struggling with the condition, you're having to live this, I don't want to say double life, but you know what I mean, this put on the mask, you're deep into it. Kind of talk about some of the mechanisms, right? I know that you said you had some coaching and counseling and some other things. Talk about some of the mechanisms that you employed in your life to get you out of that situation. Yeah.
I think that having a safe place to go and a mentor is so important. And for me, it's all about having that connection and finding it's like a job interview, essentially. It's, you know, finding a life coach or a mentor. You have to have a safe place that and somebody that you click with, because you can go to 8 different people and it takes one person to have that right connection. It's just like, you have your light bulb moment and you get it and you get each other. For me, I went to different people and I started seeing this amazing woman, and really by going to her and the methods that we use is really when my mindset shifted. And with her, we really focused on the mindsets that I had, because it didn't matter, you know, all the things that I've gone through or whatever, if I don't change my mind, then my patterns aren't going to change. My life isn't going to change, because I need to change my thoughts, because thoughts become things. So, you know, we started working on, okay, who is Brianne Rice? I am beautiful. I accept myself the way I am. I wrote down affirmations. I'm totally big on affirmations. That's like my go-to. You know, and I wrote down the things I wanted to let go of, you know, rejection, not feeling good enough. And, you know, I said, I let go of these things, and what am I bringing into my life? And so I looked at this piece of paper, and eventually, you know, I began to believe those things, and I decided, no, this is who I am. This is who I want to be. And I became her. I became that person.
Hit the pause button for a second. Go back a little bit, because when you and I were talking about it, it was powerful. There's a word called gestalt. You know, there's a gestalt, I think, that happened with this. So just rewind a little bit. You know, the gestalt was, at first, your person had you write down what? What was the first list? Things that you wanted to do or get rid of. What was the first list?
The first thing, the first thing that I wrote down was, these are the things in my life that I want to let go of. And I made a list of those things.
Mm-hmm. And what did you do to that piece of paper? What happened? You put it in a fire, right?
I took that piece of paper I wrote down and I threw it in the fire. Bye. We're done with these things. And then I focused on the things that I actually did want.
Right. And I do think, you know, anyway, I don't want to get too bogged down but that fire, there's a lot of symbolism there. There's a lot of closure there, you know what I mean? Or at least interim closure and symbolically, right? I mean, that frees you up to now focus on, right, the next list, right, to focus on it, which was, what was the next list? Did you have another list?
The next list was the things that I wanted to bring into my life. And it was, I looked at that list and I said my affirmations every morning and I believed it as it actually was. So I'm saying, I am beautiful. My skin is perfect. I'm saying it as it is. So kind of setting my mindset, starting my day with that had such a huge impact, and writing down what I wanted, my goals. It literally has all happened. Everything that I wrote down on that list is powerful.
Now let's kind of go through the course of the day, because I know you talked about affirmations, you talked about prayer, you talked about a lot of things. So talk about the mechanisms of your healing days. Now, like you said, you'd wake up and kind of share with us, if you can, some of the ritual or some of the things that you had in place on a daily basis moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I woke up, I do my affirmations. That to me is setting my day. It's kind of saying, this is how it's going to be. And I do a lot of prayer. I'm a very spiritual person. I do yoga and meditate. That is huge for me, just clearing my thoughts, getting my mind to wind down. Because I think that we live in a world where we're go, go, go. And sometimes you just need to be still and you need to say, okay, brain, we're going to relax. We're going to focus on the good things and things that I'm grateful for and what I'm bringing into my life. And I read a lot of books. I love to read different perspectives on spirituality and all different things that, you know, really just kind of ground me and give me a different perspective, from where I'm at. And I love reading books on people who have transformed their life. One of my favorite authors is Gabrielle Bernstein. And I just read this book that she wrote called The Universe Has Your Back. And it's an amazing book. And she has an incredible story too. And just how she's turned her life around it. It's a very inspiring. And I just love seeing people who have transformed their life. And they explain in their books how they've gone from point A to point B and what methods they used.
Now, how long were you on this path before you posted the viral picture?
You know, I've always felt a call to other women. I'm a big encourager, and I saw myself in media, and I'm also a holistic nutritional therapy practitioner. I work with clients. I was doing a lot of TV before and comfortable, you know, on camera and things like that. And I just really felt a call to this industry. And so I was on that path, but I wasn't going at this momentum because I wasn't believing and loving myself. So I had this block from getting to where I really needed to go, from, you know, taking it from 0 to 100 that quickly.
So when you posted it, you were still in a little bit of a block, or?
I was definitely in a block. It was kind of like, I had been in the same spot. I was comfortable and nothing was shifting in the direction that I really wanted it to go. And I was still learning. I was still growing. And finally, when I did that, it was like all these doors just flung open.
God, I mean, I'm just putting myself in your shoes. Obviously that would be a stretch, so I can empathize, but I'm thinking of, wow, how amazing to see how much empathy and validation you must have received worldwide, right?
I mean,
God, what a motivator. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It was like, it was just kind of a wink at me that I'm on the right path. You know, when things were just coming my way and pursuing me, and I was just working on myself, loving myself and becoming the right person that, and who I'm called to be. And all of those things just happened. It was like, whoa, this is real. This is my call. And it just came easy and naturally for me.
Well, man, that is awesome. So the post went viral, you have this encouragement, then you really start to gain some ground on your, on your confidence, on your rituals and self-care. Hey, let's talk a little bit about the nutrition aspect and autoimmune issues. Where has that given you a lot of clarity and support and help and maintenance?
I'm a firm believer that the health of the digestive tract is a reflection of the overall health of the body, and our immune system really, you know, is contained to our GI tract. And when you have dysfunction there and your gut wall has become compromised, that can be the whole start of all these issues, autoimmune things. And for me, my journey, it began with digestive issues, and I wasn't aware that I had all these food allergies, intolerances, things, and I was very sick for a while. And then the vitiligo started after the GI issues. And so for me, you know, it's crucial for me to give my body the nutrients that it needs. And we're all individuals, so what works for one person doesn't work for another, you know. But at the end of the day, what you're putting in your body is being transported to your cells. It's going to your endocrine system. It's going to your heart, your kidneys, your liver. So if you're putting things that are processed, that are high inflammatory, that, you know, if you have undiagnosed food allergies, it's going to cause inflammation in your GI tract. And later on, you're going to have dysfunction. Maybe not now. Maybe you look great. Maybe you feel great. But eventually, you know, you're going to have dysfunction somewhere. So I work with clients on an individual basis, offering nutritional support, you know, and we're all individuals. One person, they're fine with oatmeal and eggs. Another person, that's not what works for their body. So, you know, I just help people individually just to educate them to eat better and to find what works best for them.
Okay. That is awesome. And you're right. I mean, that's where, you know, sometimes the testing and assessment and careful review of folks' symptoms, you know, really comes into play, because we all are different. And let's talk about a little bit. I know you're on Dr. Phil recently. What was that like? And maybe talk a little bit about that experience, how that was for you, and what types of things did they want to know to showcase to a world audience about your story.
It was awesome. The clip is available right now online on YouTube as well. But, you know, it was just showcasing my story, just like we're doing now, you know, talking about my experience and, you know, just really being vulnerable. And I think that's kind of my word of the year for myself, is vulnerability. And it's just, hey, this is me. This is what happened. This was how I was feeling. But now this is where I'm at. This is what I want to do. I want to help other women. And, you know, I thought it was really powerful. And I'm so glad that, you know, they had me on, and I'm blessed to be able to share my story on such an amazing, you know, an amazing platform.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And what a great platform that is. And, you know, I just think that's just an awesome experience that you were able to do that. You know, all too often, you know, one of the coaching exercises is called a Johari window. And it's this kind of 2x2 matrix. You know, this one side is what people know about us, what people don't know about us. And on the other axis is what we know about ourselves and what we don't know about ourselves. And so all mm-hmm. too often, right, from what I know about myself that I show you, well, that would be considered our public self. You know what I mean? And that's kind of, you know, you had to show that with the makeup and, you know, kind of the cover. But there's this other side of you that the public doesn't know, let's say,
right?
That the fact that you had this autoimmune issue and you had this skin condition, you had these other concerns, you know, and other things in your life, that everything's not unicorns and rainbows, and you're just not, you know, you're just not this, you know, super duper, you know, walking on the clouds person. You're a real person mm-hmm. with real concerns and real issues. And at the end of the day, you know, that's what I'm learning. And gosh, I'm kind of learning that, in my coaching practice. I'm back and forth from the Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas area back to SoCal, and it's really interesting the different cultures. You know what I mean? I just feel like I've been associated with LA Talk Radio now for 3 years, and with my second show now here mm-hmm. on this platform, and So, but being out in Los Angeles and listening to people and going to lunch with people and listening to how they talk and how they form thoughts and how they portray themselves, you can only imagine how it might be different. So, you know, it's one of the things that really attracted me to you was just the, you know, the realness of your story, how quick that you know you're just such a grounded normal person like the rest of everybody else. You know what I mean? That you know, and people don't see that, and I think that's a lesson that no, at the end of the day, we're all people. We're all trying to live a full and integrated life, and everybody has blocks to that. Everybody has their own personal blocks. I mean, you had your blocks and still, and you will still have blocks. I have my blocks. So none of us is perfect, but yet it's just fascinating to me as an executive coach and a life coach, how people pull themselves to a better place. And real quick, let's visit that real quick. How was your counselor and your coach? How did that person help you get to where you are now? Because now you said you're on a monthly thing now, but before it was more, kind of walk us through that. Go ahead.
Before, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't want to feel like this anymore about myself, essentially. It's like, okay, I'm coming to you because I have all these negative mindsets. I have these patterns. I have these, you know, I want to change my life. I don't want to feel this way anymore. How do I do that? How do I wake up in the morning, look in the mirror, feel confident in who I am, feel beautiful, exactly how I am? How do I believe that I can have better friendships? How do I believe that there's amazing people to date? You know, I didn't know how to do that. And so going in the beginning, it was, wow, we got to do all this work because you can't just bing, change your mind in one day. It's practice. It takes practice to, you know, develop new patterns, new mindsets. And it was like, I had training wheels on my brain. And then after a while, it's like, nope, I can take these training wheels off. And now, you know, I have that accountability with her. I give her a phone call or I see her. But, you know, in the beginning, I really needed that safe place to go, to be vulnerable and to say, this is what I'm dealing with. And I need someone to help me. You know, I need someone to say, no, those thoughts aren't healthy. That's not how you should feel. You know, but I think it's so important to have that accountability in your life because it's so easy to go back into those old patterns and those old mindsets. And if you don't have that, it's really hard.
You know, this what you bring up is a core tenet of not only coaching, right? But of also something called cognitive behavioral therapy that a lot of psychologists and psychotherapists and counselors use with their clients. And it kind of goes like this, right? That thinking always precedes action. It really does. Mm-hmm. And in many instances, actually our thinking precedes emotion. So somebody says, well, I have an anger management problem. Well, you know what? You have control of that. You know what I mean? You can control how you feel if you can get a handle on your thinking, you know, and I'm not talking to you. I'm just talking to to this other you. I'm not yelling
at
you.
I'm not angry, Bruce.
Brand, stop it. Let me tell you how to think. No.
I'm
just
not
kidding,
angry.
But I know you're not angry, but just for instance, you know, person X that has an anger issue and they ruminate on that and they stick on that. Well, hey, think of the women that you know that have body dysmorphia issues or a physical challenge, and they stew and they ruminate and they can't sleep at night, and they're thinking bad thoughts and this and that. And so you're absolutely right that if you can change the way you think, you can change the way you feel and act, and it takes practice. Mm-hmm. And you need prompts, and you need accountability, and you need practice, and somewhat of a routine become until certain changes become internalized and natural, right? So the woman you are now that looks in the mirror is a new woman compared to the woman you were, let's say, years ago, who, you know, even walking in front of a mirror is a struggle and a beat down. Now, you know, you can you love yourself for who you are, and that image that comes back to you, right, even in the raw form, is okay. Mm-hmm. That's how I've been divinely created, and mm-hmm. And so I really like that. And so at the end of the day, whether people go through whatever type of coaching, they're gonna have to learn how to think about some things differently. They're gonna have to learn, you know, perception is reality sometimes as well. And so sometimes people's, not their thinking, but their perception, which kind of takes thinking at a meta level, you know, how you perceive a situation, right? Paranoid people, for instance, hey, did you notice that this person looked at me and they're going to put razor blades in my sandwich? And I mean, I've seen people go,
yeah,
I mean, that's terrible. That's actually more the psychotic person, but wow, they just take this one instance and they run with it, you know? And anyway, we won't go into a whole psychopathology show. I just wanted to underscore, hey, but anyway, but this is what you've done. You know, you started in a situation, you used the help of a mentor, counselor, coach, you have this other person in your life that helped you go through it to this point. And now it seems, you know, I understand that you want to move forward and you want to help women moving forward. So let's talk about that. What's your vision with that? How is that going to look? Is that going to be just with nutrition, or are you going to speak? What's your vision at this point on how you're going to carry forward with your work and with other women?
Yeah, I do a lot of public speaking, which I absolutely love. And I love, you know, meeting people afterwards. They'll come up to me and just share a little bit about themselves and their story, and lots of hugs and high fives. I love that part. But, you know, for me now, I am working on writing a book, and it's going to be about my own personal struggles, journey, and all of that. Very inspirational, of course. And, you know, I still feel a call to media. So I'm kind of in the works with that. And I just feel that it's going to keep with this whole momentum. And I just see it going further. I'm really excited about 2017. I don't know about you, but I got some big dreams. But I just see it furthering with the momentum. I'm like, I'm just getting started. We're good. So I really see a role in the media, just more of a positive aspect, because we have so much negativity and so much criticism around women and the way that we look. And, you know, there's so many standards of, you know, you need to look this way or this way. And so I just really want to help to, go out of the box a little bit and just help women to learn to love themselves. And
yeah, I was going to say, go ahead and finish your sentence.
Oh, sorry. I just really want to, you know, help other women and encourage them to learn to love themselves, and, you know, just look at my life and see what I've gone through and said, okay, if she can do it, I can do it. And to be encouraged and inspired by that.
That's excellent. You know, I have friends that have had various challenges in their lives. They wrote a book about that. Their book was published. They went from that. They advertised the book. marketed the book, and then they went into public speaking. You know, that's always a good thing, that the public speaking that follows the book or the first book, and perhaps you'll have two books. Who knows? You know what I mean? And yeah. then from there, media appearances and those things. And so I know that you'll have a team of publicists and agents to surround you and help you with that. And I'll be hitting you up later. Who'd you pick? Just kidding. So I think that's really good. You know, one of the questions I want to ask you, it just kind of popped up. You know, I'm thinking about this. You know, here in recent years, we've seen an acceptance of women of size. Is that the right term? You know what I mean? Women of size. Yeah. Is that right? Okay, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, and I noticed in social media, casting in Broadway, casting in mainstream, IMDb, you know, stuff where we're seeing. It used to be the Barbie dolls, and now we're seeing an acceptance of new body types, as you were. How would you compare and contrast the autoimmune skin issue, your skin disease, to that? I mean, it's not the same. It's different, and in some ways, it might even be more, I don't want to say profound. I don't want to diss another a life challenge. But what are your thoughts on that? You know, how is the vitiligo? You know, what is it about that presents its own unique body self-esteem challenge from other types of body challenges?
I feel that all different types of beauty need to be celebrated, and a woman or a man, you know, who is just comfortable being herself, being himself, loves themselves and are comfortable in their own skin, whatever that may look like, that's beautiful and that should be celebrated. So, you know, I love that we're seeing kind of this movement in media that we're accepting of all different shapes, all different sizes, all different, you know, skin types. And I love that. And to me, I mean, that should be normal, you know, because everyone's beautiful and we all are uniquely and individually made. We all have our differences, but there's beauty in that. You know, there's a snowflake, all of the snowflakes are all individuals, but you look at the other snowflake and you're like, wow, you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're unique. And I think that there's room enough in this incredible universe for everyone to shine and sparkle. It's just figuring out, wow, this is what makes me unique, and this is what I like about myself. This is what I love about myself. You know, I think that I don't like to compare because it's
right.
There really is no comparison. It's just that's who I am. That's, you know, that's what makes me unique. And I think all different types of beauty should be celebrated.
Yeah, that's a good point. And regardless of the variety, you know, at the end of the day, I think you're pulling from very core spiritual principles, core principles about, hey, I am unique. I've been created in a very unique way, and that has merit and that has value on its own. And not only that, I mean, you know, just other things about you as well. You know, I mean, just indicative of you. I think you're very kind and very gentle, and just there's a lot of other things there with you that make you as well. You know what I mean? So it's it's kind of interesting, right? I mean, we are who we become, right? Mm-hmm. Right? We're not our past. We are who we become, and you're a testament to that. You know what I mean? I mean, you literally aren't the person you were several years ago, and you've really had a rapid, you know, I think because of some of the things, you went to 0 to 100 real quick, but that's good. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That you were able to do that. So I think in order to do that, we have to dig deep with, you know, spiritual principles of who we are. You know what I mean? And we all have gifts, you know, that, that are innate, that, that have been gifted to us, you know, some of us are introverts and some of us are extroverts and some of us are more givers, you know, like you said, words of encouragement. It sounds like that's part of your love language. You know what I mean?
It is. Like that. I was just going to say that. That's like words of affirmation.
I know. I typed you a message and I said something nice and you're like, oh, it's like, oh, okay. So even in print, you you responded well to, very well to words of encouragement, you know, and I think that's great. And so, so that's real good. Now, will you, moving forward, you know, you said you're going to be working with women and helping and empower them and so forth. Is that going to be in a broad sense through just speaking and publications and media, or will you still engage with people individually through nutrition and other consulting things? What's your vision there?
It's going to be, I mean, it's pretty broad, but I mean, it's moving more to more public, more, you know, in the media and things like that. Right now, I am taking clients individually for nutrition. I only have a certain amount of space because I am, you know, busy with all this, you know, things that I'm doing right now. But eventually, it's going to be on all of the larger scale things that I've talked about. But right now, I do have a little bit more time to spend with people individually. So.
Well, good. Yeah. Like you said, it sounds like so these first opportunities that, that you're looking at are the kind of broad-based media opportunities and getting the message out there. And the book, I think a book is really, really important. I know you want to do it, but I really want to separately, superly encourage that, you know? That written word to me, just never gets lost in time. Not that the, you know, media clips get lost in time, right? I mean, obviously, but to me that there is, anyway, this is just me talking. There's a certain kind of permanence when you have that book and it comes out and man, that book is like, you know, it's like a Kodak album, you know, it's like a picture album. Like, here's where I was and here is who I am to the point that this book was published. You know what I mean?
It establishes you as sort of an expert in your field as well. It gives you some sort of, you know, that expertise or that credibility because you're like, this is my product of, you know, this is who I am. This is an extension of my heart, my message, my soul, what's going on in my mind and the things that I came out of. So it's just really, you know, it's, you're able to reach so many more people with that. And then it's, like you said, it's just that, it's that permanent thing that you have out there. So that's actually my, you know, my next project here. So, which is very time consuming, but it's definitely worth it.
Oh, it is. It is. I co-wrote a 511 page book. It's on Amazon. I know. And it's on sex offender treatment. So it's a big paperweight for a lot of people. So it's kind of like, it's nothing you can really kind of go, hey, here's the stockings anyway. But, but I was glad to get that out, Breanne, because that was about 24 years of working in the United States Department of Justice with, a variety of different, sexual offenders from incest to pedophilia and whatever else. Not popular stuff and not the scope of this show, but only to say this is that once I started writing, you know, I would just write in blocks, you know what I mean? And just kind of write with what was in the moment. And that's why you have editors and other people that string it together. So, you know, utilize those creative moments and really just kind of sit down there and let yourself flow, you know what I mean, when you're writing your book. So, it'll be easier than you think. You know what I mean? If you just do a little bit each day and incorporate that, you'll have that book done in no time. And I know it's going to be great. And I shared with you a picture of me and somebody earlier. Was it today, right? Remember that picture I shared with you or today or yesterday?
Yes.
And let me tell you, it's with another person that had, had a media background, to say the least, and really had some interesting things about their lives and did the exact same thing you're talking about, Breanne, is, you know, bringing that to the public, bringing your experience, you know, your strength and your hope through these media channels, and really, you know, because there's people out there that need to hear your story. There's people out there that need to hear it, and they're going to resonate with it just like you resonated with that piece of paper and putting into the fire, right? That with that with yeah. your person, you know. And that is that connection is so important. And that's what we do with coaching, right? As life coaches or executive coaches, we connect with our coachees and we're there for them, right? In a non-judgmental way. And we assist them on a journey to reach their goals. And and your goals were, you know, I want to feel differently. You know what I mean? I want to think differently and feel differently. And you know what? That is a great place to start. And that's a place to, I mean, people always have a thorn, I think, in their side, and they want to try to remove that or just to get to a better place for other reasons. So I think that's really good. So if you were to, so if you had a, if your message, kind of what would be your message to our listeners or to others that would, that might respond to your situation? What would be the short abstract version of your message to our listeners and people that may be struggling with something that you have?
Whatever you focus on, you're going to expand more of. So if it's when you look in the mirror and you're focusing on the things that you don't like about yourself, that's where your brain is going to be centered. Those are your thoughts. And so when you walk out the door, when you go to your job or go to meet your friends for lunch, if you look in the mirror and you thought, I don't look very good, I'm not confident, I'm not having a good day, you're looking, you know, at all the negative, guess what's going to happen when you go to your meeting? You're not going to have a good day at work. You're not going to feel confident. You're not going to you know, have good friendships. All of that is going to trickle into every aspect of your life. So when you look at the mirror in the morning when you start your day, focus on what you love about yourself. What are your gifts and your talents? Because it's your responsibility to share that with people. You know, no one else can put that on you. You have to understand that and know that about yourself and learn to love those gifts and talents so that you can share that. That's why we have them. I mean, that's just my opinion, but if, you know, wherever you're focusing your mind and your thoughts, that is what you're going to attract more of into your life. And if you focus on the things that you love about yourself, accepting yourself, saying, this is me, I embrace it, I love who I am, I love my shape, I love my size, I love my skin, you know, you're going to go out and you're going to feel amazing about yourself. And everything, people pick up on that energy. Joy is contagious. Who wants to be around somebody that doesn't feel good about themselves? They, you know, everything's negative. They find, you tell them a story and they'll find something wrong with everything. We all have that one friend that we try not to hang out with, but sometimes we have to. But you're around somebody that is just so full of love and life, and they're happy with themselves, and they encourage you, and they see they appreciate the gifts and the beauty in you. You're going to want to be around that person, right?
Exactly.
So if you become, so if you become that best version of yourself, you know who you are, you love yourself, you're developing your gifts and your talents, then you can have everything you've ever wanted, because that those are your desires, and that's who you've become, that right person. So for me, like my life right now, I literally have everything that I've ever wanted. This is who I'm supposed to be. This is who I'm called to be. And I'm the happiest I've ever been, because I just enjoy it, and I'm full of joy, and people want to be around me. And anybody can have that. You just have to look to yourself. And when you change your mind and your mindset, that's when the magic starts to happen. And that's when you see, things really develop in your life. So what I would say is pay attention to those thoughts, those things that you focus on. The first thing when you wake up in the morning, when you're looking in the mirror, what are you looking at? What are you thinking? Change those thoughts and learn to love the best parts of yourself.
Man, that is awesome. And what you just said, was really a lot of what many coaches do with their clients and help them get to that mm-hmm. point. Unbelievable. This is unscripted, folks. I mean, Brianna is not a life coach, but what she just did was, as a consumer, if you will, really kind of show us exactly some of the major points by which life coaches assist people and assist them with their goals. You know, you're talking about your experience, and that is just awesome. Well, you know what? Thank you so much, Brianna, for coming on the show today here. Really, really appreciate it. Folks, feel free to access the podcast. It'll be on latalkradio.com, channel 2. Just click the Concierge Coaches Show, and the podcast will be up in a little bit under today's date. So make sure to download the podcast and listen to it, and you'll get something new every time you hear it. I know that Brianna is just a delight in what she's done and what she's doing, and hopefully we'll have you on the show again here sometime, Brianna, and kind of give us an update.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So, and folks, if you want to reach us, we are on Facebook at Concierge Coaches Show. Also, I can be reached at www.conciergecoach.net at 214-431-2032. Call or text. Be nice, though. Don't send hate mail. And of course,
nice.
I know. And Cindy will be back with us next week, and she's reached at wisdomfoods.com. So from Los Angeles and Texas, this is the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Be with us next week, and we'll see you then. Have a good afternoon, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Cindy DeFerdinand, only on LA Talk Radio.